Good morning. It is now 9:08 a.m. We are here today, August 10, 2016, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagañaguan for the formal hearing continuation of OPA PA 16-003 and 16-005 TLK Marketing versus the Guam Visitors Bureau. Presiding over the hearing today are Hearing Officer Peter C. Perez and Public Auditor Doris Forrest Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Yuka Hechinova and Jarek Hernandez. Will Appellant TLK please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Morning, Madam Public Auditor, Mr. Hearing Officer. I'm Joshua Walsh, and along with Joyce Tang, we're attorneys to represent TLK, whose institutional representative, Mr. Lee, is present today, along with us at table, Sarah Fitzpatrick.
Thank you. Will Purchasing Agency GBB please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yes, good morning. My name is Thomas Fisher. I am an attorney representing the Guam Visitors Bureau in this appeal. Seated to my left is Mr. Antonio Munya, who is with the Guam Visitors Bureau and is serving this morning as the institutional representative.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Ms. Thomas, as a reminder, you're still under oath.
Yes.
Ms. Tang.
Thank you. Good morning, Ms. Cody. Good morning.
Do you recall a meeting on February 25th, 2016, where there was a motion made to allow the Chief Procurement Officer, Nate Denight, to negotiate with HIC, or the high, I'm sorry, it wasn't HIC, to negotiate with the highest rank offer?
Yes.
And were you present at that board meeting?
Yes.
Right. And I know you didn't recall yesterday, and that I understand there are a lot of board meetings, but I, you along with a number of other board, GVD management staff were present, correct?
Yes.
And do you recall Mr. Denight was present?
Yes.
All right. And usually, let's talk about these board meetings. So they happen, when do they occur?
They occur every second and fourth Thursdays of the month.
And management is required to attend?
Yes, management is required.
Okay, the entire management?
Yes.
All right. And in addition, there are board members. How many board members are there?
There's 13 in total.
What number of members do you need?
Eight.
For quorum?
Yes.
Thank you. And at this board meeting, well, strike that. Let's talk about board meetings in general. So, if a contract needed to be reviewed or approved or negotiated, tell me how does it work? So you've got an RFP,
yes,
and let's assume the ranking is completed,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So what's the next step?
After the board?
No, after the ranking is completed.
Oh,
then at which point does it go to the board?
After the ranking has been completed and the Chief Procurement Officer, the General Manager, Mr. Nathan Denight, approves or agrees with the ranking, and then it goes, he will tell the Secretary to put it on the agenda for a motion to approve him to negotiate with the highest ranking.
Right, and so let's say at a board meeting where the ranking is presented, how would that information be presented to the board?
It's just in the motion.
Okay, so how I'm not talking about this particular one, I'm just talking in general. We're talking about in general. So the motion would be
to approve the Chief Procurement Officer to negotiate with the highest ranking company on such and such project. Or
right, and so the highest ranking ABC company to negotiate the contract with this company, and it would be identified?
Yes.
All right. And then the board would then approve it,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
After approval, what happens?
Then...
Well, just stop. One minute. So do you recall, does the board ever discuss, or...?
They can't really discuss it because we can't reveal who are the proposers and who ranked them.
At that phase?
Yes.
So they say, fine, we will approve ABC company, and the next step is negotiation.
Yes.
What, okay, so after that resolution is passed, then tell me, what happens next?
And then that's when myself or Chris, we would send the letter to the highest ranking with a negotiation letter with our offer, the price for their services. And then in this particular case, or like all marketing reps, we would send the scope of service for them to review it and sign off on every item.
Okay, so the scope of services, do you call it the SOC? SOW. Okay. So the negotiation begins after board approves.
Yes.
All right. And then after the board, so let's talk about negotiation and talk about in general, not this particular procurement. So you mentioned you would work with Chris Lizama.
With Chris Lizama.
Right. And so you would send this letter to the highest ranked offeror and
yes.
say, we want to start negotiating with you.
Yes.
All right. Do you at that point, does GVB at that point also notify the non-selected parties that they were not ranked highest?
No. Usually, because we don't let them know that they weren't ranked the highest, but because...
not selected.
Oh, for non-selection?
Yeah.
No, we don't I don't usually do that. The process that I learned was you go and negotiate with the first company, and should negotiations fail, then you go to the second highest ranking.
Okay. At which point, in your experience,
mm-hmm.
does GVB notify the non-selected parties that they're not ranked the highest?
Is after negotiations have been completed successfully and contract has been signed.
And is this something that, is this a procedure that GVB has followed in all contracts in your experience?
In my experience, yes.
Okay. And is this based on a policy or some kind of manual that you are aware of?
It's a procedure that in our scope of work, I would say, or SOP on doing RFPs. That's what I learned.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is there a manual or a SOP handbook?
No, we received several documents from, I want to say, DOA. I forget who gave the documents to us. And there was steps, I think it was the Attorney General's. There were steps on how to do an RFP.
I see.
And that's what we followed.
And when did you implement that?
And ever since I've been in the Bureau.
Okay, is that a checklist of sorts?
It's like a checklist.
From the AG?
Yes.
And it's a procurement checklist, right?
It's an RFP.
RFP procurement checklist.
Yes.
Okay. And do you maintain that checklist as you do every RFP? So is there, so as you go down each item,
yes.
check it?
Yes.
Okay. And do you remember if you maintained one for this particular procurement?
Well, this one was handled by Chris Lizama.
Are you aware of whether she maintained one?
I don't know.
I see. All right. So, your understanding, okay, so let me just make sure I understand your testimony. The standard operating procedure at GVB is that once the highest ranked offeror is determined,
mm-hmm.
then you go to the board. The board approves that particular highest ranked offer, let's say ABC company.
Well, it just approves that we can go negotiate with them.
Negotiate. Okay, I'm sorry.
We don't specify who
you
the highest ranking company, no.
Okay. So what would be the board, what would the board be approving?
They'd be approving
who it is.
That we can, that our chief procurement officer can start negotiation.
I see. And then you would notify the highest ranked company, correct?
Yes.
And then, but you would not, at the time you notify the highest ranked company, you would not notify the non-selected
yes.
companies.
Yes.
And they, the non-selected companies would not receive notice until a contract is signed with the highest ranked offeror.
Yes, all of them, yes. Or when the contract is
awarded.
Awarded.
I see. And that is based on the Attorney General's checklist that you have seen or used in GVB, or adopted in GVB.
I'm not sure if that's exactly, but that's how we've done it in the Bureau.
Okay, but you're aware of the, there's an Attorney General checklist, right?
Mm-hmm.
For procurement.
Yes.
For RFPs. And you try to follow that.
Yes.
And because that is the correct way to do it?
Objection.
Is that your understanding?
Suspend.
Well, okay, let me ask another way. The procurement checklist that's published by the Attorney General, is GVB required to follow that?
We're not required, but because we're not a government agency, but we do try to follow it to be in line with, because we're using public funds. That's my understanding.
I see. And other than from your attorney, where did you get that understanding?
Objection, sending facts, not in evidence.
You can rephrase.
Sorry.
Let her rephrase.
Okay. You said you have your understanding is that GVB is not a government entity, and therefore, because there's government funds involved, GVB does not have to follow the AG procurement checklist for RFPs. And my question is, where did you get that understanding?
Through the law that made GVB, that we are a public corporation, and our funding is a grant from through the TAF funds.
Okay. Okay, but okay. Then there's the second part of my question.
Okay.
Is where did you get your understanding that GVB does not have to follow the Attorney General's procurement checklist?
Well, I didn't say we didn't have to follow his checklist. I'm just saying that we're a public corporation.
Okay.
And that we don't really necessarily need to do the RFPs, and because we're a public corporation. That's my understanding through what I've learned in the Bureau.
Okay, so I'm not trying to confuse you.
Yeah.
So because GVB is a public corporation,
mm-hmm.
You're saying that GVB does not even have to do RFPs to award contracts. I'm just asking, is that what you mean? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just trying to understand your testimony.
Object. She's eliciting a point of law from the witness.
I'm not sure you really need to go there. I mean, I think what she's testified to is that based upon her years of experience, the way that they've done it is to use this process, and also she's received documents, including from the AG, that they've used for guidance.
No, I understand. Okay, I mean, with all due respect, I think the point I'm trying to understand from her testimony, she's saying, and I'm just trying to confirm this, and I'm not asking for a legal opinion, I understand her last statement to her testimony was that GVB is not required to follow procurement laws, RFPs, and I just want to understand, is that what she's saying? If she's not, yes or no? I mean, she testified, so I need to understand if that's what she's saying. I mean, that's a completely relevant question.
I mean, she can answer it, but that's not how I interpret her testimony.
Okay, that's why I'm seeking clarification.
I'm not saying we don't have to. I'm just saying that being a public corporation, what I learned was that we could do things differently from a government agency, but we choose to follow the government process because we're using public funds.
When you say public process, are you referring to the Guam procurement law?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so after you just generally speaking, after you, the contract is awarded, does the contract go before the board for approval?
No.
Okay. Who internally at GVB is, other than Christine, is responsible for or is involved in negotiations, contract negotiations?
Just the chief procurement officer, Mr. Anthony Denai.
Okay.
And myself.
All right. No one else? Does the controller get involved?
No.
Does Ms. LaGuardia get involved?
No, not at this point.
All right, so let's focus on this procurement, the TLK procurement. So on February 25th, if you recall, there was an oral presentation, correct?
Yes.
And it concluded shortly before noon or about thereabout.
Yes.
Right. And later that afternoon, around 4 o'clock, there was a board meeting.
Yes.
And you participated in that board meeting.
Yes.
Correct? And Mr. Denai was present?
Yes.
And during that board meeting, a motion was made. I'll take you to it. I'm not trying to trick you here. So let's go to exhibit. Have you listened to the tapes of that board meeting? Or have you seen the minutes from the board meeting?
I've seen the minutes, but because we get the minutes.
All right,
before the minutes for the meeting.
So I'm going to direct you to exhibit 7. It's about, I would say, 2 inches through. It's a transcript. It's a single page document. Sorry.
Is that a number?
Yeah, it's unfortunately we didn't have it. So it's about this thick through.
Okay.
All right, so if that helps you.
From the board meeting?
Yeah, it's on the very top it says partial transcript of the February 25th, 2016 board or director's minutes.
Okay.
So this is a transcript we prepared, or we have prepared from the tapes, the audio tapes of the board meeting. And Mr. M is a director.
He's
right?
A board member.
Right. And Mr. M made a motion. Take a moment to review that. He made a motion to recommend, I'm quoting, recommend board approval to authorize GVB general manager as chief procurement officer to enter into negotiation and contract with the highest rate and most qualified offer for GVB RFP 2016-2006, tourism designation marking representation service in the Republic of Korea. Right, that was the motion. Do you recall that motion?
Yes.
All right, and there was no discussion about it other than the motion. And at that point in time, at 4 p.m., there was no one knew who the highest ranked offeror was, correct?
Yes.
Yes, they didn't know.
Yes, they didn't know.
Right. Because it hadn't been, the tabulation had not been completed, is that correct?
Yes.
And Christine, who was preparing the evaluation memorandum, had not completed it.
No.
Just a point of clarification, Ms. Kono, is that the normal process? The board, we'll just say, the board is not informed at the meeting who is the highest ranked. Is that your normal process for an approval of any kind of contract, whether it be an RFP or a bid? You just, whoever, like in this case, I guess it's the general manager talking, so this came, I guess, from... Is Mr. Is he on the Korean National Committee, Marketing Committee?
He's on the Korean Marketing Committee.
Okay, so someone from the relevant committee of the board will make a motion to approve negotiation of with whoever, but the person and the board do not know who it is.
Yes.
And is that always the practice, or let me rephrase, is that generally the practice?
Yes, it is.
So when does the board get informed that ABC Company was finally selected? Is that ever in the minutes, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. So the board just go approve, and it could be XYZ Company, it could be ABC Company, and they're not interested, and that's it. Once they said approve, they're finished.
Sometimes the chairman of that certain committee,
okay,
maybe in another board meeting would announce, okay, we've come to a contractual agreement, and XYZ will be handling, let's say, building our bus stops in 2 months.
Okay, but it's not all the time.
Not all the time.
Sometimes it just depends on, but as a general practice, the board's process is to approve negotiations with whoever is the highest rank without knowing who the highest rank, and that's it.
Right. The working committee, our career committee, would be informed once the RP has been completed, contract has been signed. We will report to the committee.
Okay. And is that like
And then it goes into minutes, which goes to the board.
Okay, so that would be like a working committee minutes.
Yes.
So to your recollection, when HIC was ultimately selected and contract signed and all of that, did the marketing committee become informed that HIC won it and that the contract with TLK was terminated? Was that in a
report type, management report to the committee?
To the working committee, yes. Not to the full board. So and to the best of your knowledge, did that happen in this particular case?
Yes.
It did happen?
Yes.
Do you know when, approximately?
The contract
with TLK was terminated by the end of March, and I think there's
from the Russia
between that in April, mm-hmm. HIC would take out.
Yes. I believe it was either in March, in our late meeting in the month of March, where we didn't announce it, but.
You did
a committee member asked.
Oh,
how was the process?
How was it?
Yeah, okay. And so that's when we said, because we were going to announce it on April 1st.
On April 1st.
When the new contract starts, but then they asked, and so we
prior
said,
to.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you informed them. I see. Okay, but again, just to repeat, GVB's normal process is to seek board approval for whoever is ranked the highest, but generally the board at that time, when they're making the motion to approve and adopting the motion, does not know who the highest ranked is.
Yes.
Right. Thank you.
So Ms. Cotto, just following up on that line of questioning. When the board is asked to approve the negotiation with the highest ranked offeror, in other cases, has the board ever been presented with information such as, and not disclosing who the parties are, like the scoring, a little background on why that recommendation was made and why they were ranked the highest, the different scoring, the review of the proposal, recommendations made by the evaluation committee. Is any of that information ever presented to the board in assisting the board to make a decision on whether to approve the highest ranked offeror?
Not to my knowledge, and we don't ask them to approve the high ranking raider, a proposer. We ask them to approve us to negotiate.
With the highest ranking offer. But you have to say, well, what information is presented to the board to aid the board member in that coming to the decision to approve the negotiations with the high ranking officer, offeror? Because they don't know who it is.
Yeah.
So it's like a decision. So basically, the decision made without any information regarding the evaluation recommendations, the names of the proposers. Basically, it's in a vacuum.
Sorry, is that a question?
Is that correct? No information is presented to the board about the proposers to assist the board member in deciding whether to approve the motion to negotiate with the highest ranked offeror.
No information was given because actually it's a procurement process and our chief procurement officer oversees that, and I think the board members rely on his decision.
Okay.
But
that is your that is GVB standing standard operating procedure.
Yes.
And the chief procurement officer standard operating procedure, and this is Mr. Denine in this case,
yes,
is to say we want just to make a motion to approve the, to go to the next step to negotiate without presenting any information.
Yes.
And at which point is the board asked standard operating procedure to approve the contract that will be awarded after negotiation?
In the motion, it asked us to negotiate and contract.
And that is GVB standard operating procedure?
Yes.
And that is what Mr. Denine has followed in while he's acted as the chief procurement officer.
Yes.
And I know I asked about negotiation. I'm going to ask about the contract, approving the contract. So when the board approves the contract, the chief procurement officer, that is Mr. Denine,
mm-hmm.
does not
yes.
present a copy of the contract, does not tell the board who it is, does not tell the board how much the amount of the contract is, does not tell the board the term of the contract, or how the negotiation went when he seeks approval for that contract.
She's already testified it doesn't go to the board for approval.
Yes.
After it's awarded.
Did you go? Okay.
It doesn't go.
Okay.
Yes, it doesn't go.
All right, so
could I just intervene? In past times, when let's say any other contract, forget this one, once all of this is done, does the general manager or someone else will say, last month we approved the general manager to negotiate with the highest ranked offers. And then now it's this one. Say, for your information, board members, we selected company X. Does that ever happen?
I believe so. I don't recall that. I believe it has happened before.
It has happened.
Yes.
But
especially with big contracts.
With big contracts.
Yes.
Does it regularly happen? Does it sometimes happen? How the frequency, or does it just depend?
It sometimes happens, and a lot of times it depends.
Sometimes and a lot of times it depends. But it's not clear.
It's not a normal.
Consistent.
Yes.
Thank you.
Was it your testimony that management intended to advise the board April 1st, but the board found out earlier because...
Oh, no, my working committee.
Or your working committee. So when did the board become aware of the award to HIC, if it ever became aware?
I don't recall.
But just to follow up on my earlier question, you said your working committee met sometime in March, late March, and one of the board members asked...
One of my committee members.
Committee members asked who was selected, because your plan was to wait until April 1st to announce.
Right.
But since one of the committee members asked, you went ahead and told them that HIC, or someone told them.
Yeah.
Is that a fair? And would that have been in... Do you keep our minutes kept of working committees?
Yes.
And who normally does that?
Myself or another coworker.
Okay. But you do recall that specifically, a committee member asking who is now going to be our marketer?
Yeah, I do recall it, yes.
Okay. So... negotiations. Sorry, did you handle the negotiations for the TLK solicitation?
I sent the email.
Okay. Did when you say you sent an email, you sent the email to
HIC.
To HIC, I see. And then, did you report to anyone regarding negotiations?
Well, I did it on the directive of Mr. DeKnight.
Okay.
And I report to my marketing manager.
Who is?
Laura LaFontaine.
Okay. Did you discuss or report to anyone else during this time, the negotiation at GDP?
That I sent it out?
Mm-hmm.
Probably to Chris Lizama.
Okay. Anyone else?
No.
How do you usually report, or when you receive instructions from Mr. DeKnight, are they usually email instructions, verbal?
Normally verbal. He'll call me into his office.
And in TLK's case, with respect to the negotiation of the contract with HIC, was it verbal or was it...
It was written? A verbal. I came to his office.
So can you tell me what happened? Would you recall how you received instructions on negotiations from Mr. DeKnight?
Came into his office and he says, okay, the board approved us to implement the negotiations and please prepare the documents for the communication and bring it to his attention and see it, and then he approves it, and I send it.
Okay. So, I'm going to break that up a bit.
Okay.
Okay. So, he gives you the green light.
Yes.
Then you can start negotiating, right? Or send
it
email.
Prepare the negotiation documents.
So, do you recall what his specific instructions were with respect to that email?
No, he just told me to prepare the email letting them know that they were the highest ranking and attached to the scope of services and offer and the fee, and to please review and get back to us.
Do you recall when that meeting with Mr. DeKnight occurred?
Can't recall exactly what day.
Do you recall it was the same day that you sent the email out to HIC?
It might have been.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
to direct you to, I think we have a loose copy, I don't know if it's on 33A. So, Ms. Kono, just going, there's an email chain attached to this, mm-hmm. right? And are you familiar with this email chain?
Yes.
Okay. And you earlier referred to an email that Mr. Denied asked you to send to HIC. Is the email that Mr. Denied asked you to send to EIC the email that's on, I'm going to say, page one of 18 pages, which is email chain?
Yes.
Right? So it's the first page of the email, and it's dated March 4, 2016, Friday, sent at 5:52 p.m. Do you see that?
Yes.
And do you recall, again, if you do, do you recall you received instructions on March 4th from Mr. Denight to send this email? Other than the discussion regarding sending the email, did Mr. Denight ask you or discuss or give you any other instructions regarding this procurement?
No.
Did you draft this email, or did someone else draft this email?
I did.
You did. And so at the very top of page 1 of 18, this email, not March 4, 2016, there's a bold, and in caps, this communication is being sent to you at the instructions of GBD manager, Mr. John Nathan Denight.
Yes.
And you wanted to make sure that.
We do that with all of our, my process. I do this all the time with RTs.
Okay. And so in your notices to the highest ranked offers, this is your standard operating procedure to put in bold. Mr. Denight is sending these instructions?
Yes.
And so in this email, this March 4th email, you have GVB is notifying Happy Idea Company that it will select the highest rated most qualified for the career contract, correct?
Yes.
And you attached a negotiating document, which you referred to in your second paragraph.
Yes.
Can you tell me what that document is?
Well, it showed our offer, the offered fee, and then the list of scope of work.
If I may be able to assist you with that to identify that offer. So, let me go to Exhibit 3. So it's about this pick through. If you'll see the copy of the HIC contract, Exhibit 3. And go to the last, actually begins on the base number T, 247, bottom right-hand corner.
247?
Yep. I'm sorry, 246. 246, there's a cover sheet that says Appendix A.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the scope of work. And
yes.
Then behind that, there are eight pages, right?
Yes.
Okay. Was this the attachment to your March 4, 2006 email to Mr. Sedon Park or Don Park?
Yes.
HIC. Okay. And we'll call this the scope of work, right?
Yes.
And the scope of work is a standard document that's attached to the various marketing contracts.
Yes.
So, for instance, in TLK's case, this would be a similar document would be attached to TLK's contract with GBB, the scope of work.
In the past.
If you recall.
I don't recall, but his contract was different.
Okay.
He was not a marketing representative. He was a general sales agent.
Okay. So you didn't have a form in the back like this?
I don't know. I didn't handle this like that.
So you don't know.
So I don't know.
All right. So back to Exhibit 33A, please. The version that was attached to your March 4th email was it identical to the version that you just reviewed that was attached to Exhibit 3? Of the HIC contract, except
yes.
It wasn't signed, of course.
Yes.
Got it. Did you, there was a retainer agreement of $20,000.
Yes.
And then a reimbursable office expenses of up to $2,000 per month.
Yes.
And then there's a description of scope of services.
Yes.
Correct? All right. So as of March 4th, TLK was still the marketing GBBs, on contract with GBB.
Yes.
All right. Now, in the last, near your signature, it says PS, there's a PS postscript.
Yes.
I understand you'll be coming to Guam with addresses, with actresses and film crew for the document program Persons Good. However, I hope you can review and respond to offer at your earliest convenience. So, the documentary program Person Is Good, is that for GBB?
Yes.
All right. And they were performing that service?
As our PR agency contracted by TLK.
All right. So, TLK was required to take HIC on as their PR?
As a PR agency.
Subcontractor?
Yes.
Under TLK?
Yes.
Right. Going to page 2 of the Exhibit 33A, so at 8 p.m. that night, 8:53 p.m., Mr. Don Park, psduj@hotmail.com, is that Mr. Park's email?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Park responds, and he, and he copies the same individuals that you copied in your original email, right?
Right.
Just to confirm, Jacob Yoon and Anna Kim are his employees,
yes.
Or his staff. Yes. And the rest are GBB people.
Yes.
On the email. So he responds, and he says, basically, that he's going to get back to you on what you call the negotiation career RFP as a scope of work document, right?
Yes.
Dispatch 4 email out to Mr. Park. Did you have any calls with or discussions in person or by phone or by communications by email with anyone at GVB regarding the content of your March 4th email?
Are you referring to my marketing manager's email to me?
No, I'm just focusing on the March 4th.
On the March 4th? No.
Yeah. After you sent it out.
Yes.
Did you have any conversations or communications, whether by email, phone, or in person, with anyone at GVB regarding the contents of your March 4th, 2016 email?
No. Not to my recollection.
Going to page 3, I'm sorry, page 4. There's an email that starts in middle of the page from Pilar Liguana, and she limits the communication to you, John DeKnight, Gabriel Franquez, Colleen Cabido. All of you are GVB staff.
Yes.
Do you know what prompted this email from Pilar to you?
No.
Did you have any discussions with her before 8:40 a.m. on March 5th? Did you have any discussions with Pilar before she sent this email?
No.
You said, may I?
Yes.
You indicated you don't know what prompted her to do this. Has she ever done that in the past with other procurements that you've handled, or are there RFPs to the best of your recollection?
To the best of my recollection, no.
So this could be the first time?
Could be.
In a long time?
In a long time.
For her to send this email. So when you got it, were you surprised? Or
yeah, I didn't see it until Monday.
You didn't see it until Monday.
Yeah.
So did you speak to her personally on it?
I think she was off island.
Oh, okay. So, but you were surprised that she sent this?
Yeah, because it should have gone to Christine Lozama.
To Christine Lozama, I mean, to do
Chris,
that?
Yeah, Chris Lozama. She handles it.
She handles that portion. All right. So, okay. So what did you do upon receiving it on Monday? Or seeing it on Monday?
I went looking for Chris.
Okay, to get assistance.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think I forwarded this to her.
You forwarded her.
Because she wasn't copied.
Because she was not copied.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Was the reason for your surprise that you were sent an email, or was it the substance of the email?
It was a substance. It should have gone to Chris, because she handles this part of the procurement. She handles the whole procurement process, basically, except for the negotiations. That's when our general manager asked me to handle that.
Well, what I'm trying to understand is the fact that, Gina, that an email was sent to anyone that says have an official notice of selection announcement put on GVB stationery during the signature of our GM and letters to all other bidders should also be formalized. Were you surprised that directive was being made to anybody? Or only that it was being routed to you as opposed to Chris?
Yeah, that it was routed to me.
Okay, and if it had been routed to Chris and you were CC'd, would you have been surprised that directive was made to Chris?
No.
So the content of the email does not surprise you, just that it was sent to you?
Yes.
And that's because you normally would not do this.
Yeah.
That's handled by account. That's the work of procurement, not of marketing, to notify.
Yes.
Did you ever obtain an understanding as to why this email was directed to you and not to Chris?
No, I didn't really talk to Pilar. I gave it to Chris, and Chris discussed it with my marketing manager.
In your presence?
No, I wasn't there.
Did you get any feedback from that discussion?
No.
No. So did Chris take care of the substance of that email?
Yeah, Chris took care of it.
So, Ms. Kono, referring to Ms. LaGuardia's email to you of March 5th, 2016 at late in the evening at 8:40, oh, I'm sorry, it's in the morning, 8:40 a.m., all right. Wasn't she concerned, doesn't this email express concern that the other non-selected bidders were not notified? Do you agree?
That's going to require her to speculate.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
No, I don't know what she was thinking when she sent this email.
Okay, and you've been there 30 years.
Yes.
You've gone through numerous procurements. This is not a mystery to you.
Right.
Okay. The process is not a mystery. For Ms. LaGuardia, the person you've worked with for 30 years, to send you an email, which is a directive. Do this. Have an official notice. Not just any notice, an official notice of announcement put on GVB stationery bearing the signature of our GM. Letters to all bidders should be formalized. These were instructions. You report to her. Why did you not carry it out?
Because I went to the person that handles procurement, who normally takes care of these matters, and asked her to handle it with address Pillar's concern.
And there was no discussions between you and Pillar between Saturday, and your communication with Christine, was that on Monday or Tuesday?
It was on Tuesday, I think.
She says it's a long weekend, so does that mean Monday was a holiday possibly?
I believe so. Yeah.
Right, so.
And she was off island. I'm sorry.
Who was off island?
Pillar. Okay. LaGuardia was off island.
There were no other communications in the intervening days between you and Pillar?
No.
Is there any communications between you or Mr. DeKnight or any other GVB employee during that period? That is, when Pilar sent her email and your meeting with or discussion with Christine following Tuesday?
No.
You didn't, this did not concern you? This instruction was not concerning for you?
I didn't see it until I got back into the office. I think it's on Tuesday. I think Monday was on the date that time. And so I knew something had to be done, so I went to Chris, who handles this.
Do you have access to your emails off hours?
I could, but I don't want to.
I'm just asking you, yeah. Please answer the question. Do you have access?
Yes, I do.
All right. And how do you have access?
My personal computer at home.
All right, so you go to the web browser, right?
Yes.
And you access the account. Do you have a smartphone that allows you to access your GVB email?
Yes, I have a smartphone.
Yes, and I'm sorry, is that a company phone or is that your
personal phone? My personal phone.
And so you receive...
Objection, relevance. Could we get an offer of proof?
What's the relevance?
She's testifying that she didn't see this until Monday.
Tuesday,
excuse me, and I just wanted to explore what access she had and if she had phone access to the...
But she testified that she normally doesn't, so...
She has access, but she doesn't. She's not checking it.
She's not checking it. That's what she testified.
Yeah, I choose not to check my work emails when it's my own personal time.
So it was the first time that you saw the email from... Laura LeBlanc, yeah, on that Tuesday, and she testified?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. going to page 12 of Exhibit 33A. Okay, so in this email, at 6:21, you replied, so you were working on Tuesday, is that, do you recall?
Yes.
So you spent the entire, it took you an entire day, actually, until late in the evening to respond to Pilar, correct?
Yes.
And did you send this email from work?
Yes.
All right. And first paragraph, well, actually, on Tuesday is when you met with Chris, correct?
Yes.
Do you remember what time you met with Chris?
No.
Was it morning, evening, noon?
I want to say in the morning after I read my emails.
Okay, and did you go to her office or did you call her?
I went to her desk, yes.
All right, and what did you discuss?
And I forwarded the email to her for to look at it from Pilar.
All right.
And she could handle Pilar's request.
What did she say to you?
She said she would.
Does she express any concerns about not having notified the other offerors?
No.
Okay. And when you notify a highest ranked offeror that they're ranked highest, do you not normally send it out in a formal letter that says you are ranked highest, you are the highest ranked offeror, and that we will begin negotiations with you?
Yes, that's the normal process.
Okay, but you didn't do that here, did you?
I didn't, because the general manager asked me to prepare the negotiation paperwork, which I normally do, and I usually do it in this fashion where I send the with the bold on top of my email that is from communications from it.
So you're referring to the March 4th email?
Yeah.
So in lieu of a formal notice to HIC, you sent him an email. And this is because Nate and I told you to do that. Is that what you're testifying to?
That's how I normally do it.
So you don't, just clarify. Mm-hmm. What is your standard operating procedure? You send a formal notice to the highest ranked offeror that they're being ranked highest. GVB letterhead and Mr. Denight's signature. Is that your standard operating procedure?
I don't do it that way. I do it through the email.
In all cases? In all RFPs?
From ones that I've done.
All right, what other ones have you done recently?
Recently?
Mm-hmm.
I think last year was the global social media strategist. And North America marketing representative.
All right, but if you look at the email from Pilar to you, dated March 5th at 8:50 a.m., she specifically says, for the procurement record, have an official notice of selection announcement on GVB stationery bearing the signature of GM. And then she says, letter to all other bidders should also be formalized. So she's actually giving you two instructions. One, to send an official notice of selection to HIC, correct? And she's saying, you should also send notices to all other bidders, which would be a notice of non-selection, correct?
Okay.
All right. And this is in response to your March 4th email to HIC, correct?
Yes.
So, would Pilar's email be the standard operating procedure? Her instructions?
It never has before. She's never sent me an email like that before.
No, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm asking you, what Pilar is describing in her email to you, that the standard operating procedure?
Not to my knowledge.
Going back to the March 8th email from Pilar, to Pilar, excuse me, from the page 12, yeah. I think so, 33A. So the evaluation committee report that was memo that was prepared by Christine was provided to Mr. Denight.
Mm-hmm.
And do you recall if he signed it immediately or did he sign it shortly thereafter? Do you recall?
I don't recall.
Okay.
Chris handled that. Ms. Zoma handled that. I didn't.
And then the next paragraph, second paragraph, you said you've talked to Chris on the next steps that need to be taken once we finalize negotiations. And then she agreed to produce the notice, the letter of award, the letter to the offeror, and work on the contract. So let's break that down. So the letter of award, that would be the letter of award to HIC.
Yes.
The letter to offerors, that's the letter to offerors that it's been awarded.
Yes.
And work on the contract is the contract with HIC.
Yes.
This is on March 8th. And as of March 8th, 2016, none of the non-selected offerors had been notified of the ranking, correct?
Correct.
So as of March 8th, well, tell me, as of March 8th, did you have any communications with HIC?
No.
What was the status of negotiation with HIC?
I believe they had already sent over, emailed the approval, their signature, agreeing to our.
That's on the SO status, I'm sorry, scope of work?
Scope of work.
Appendix A. And once they, when you say they've already emailed, you say email, they've approved or signed it?
Yes.
All right. So those are the scope of work, the scope of work had also financial terms, right? The 20,000?
Yes, and the 2,000 a month.
Right. So all of those terms, the financial terms and the scope of work basically was agreed upon and accepted by the offeror,
yes.
By HIC?
Yes.
And that would have been as of August, I'm sorry, March 8th?
I believe so.
Yes. Was there anything else to negotiate at that point other than, because price has been resolved, scope of work has been resolved, anything else? Then as of March 8th, the negotiations were completed with HIC.
And so, yes.
And
to Exhibit 12. It is a... an email from Mr. Park to you, dated March 9, 2016.
You're on Exhibit 12?
Yes. Between the time that you notified HIC that it was highest ranked offer, that was March 4th, and this email, which is March 9th at 3:06 p.m., did you have any telephone calls or communications with Mr. Park, other than those emails that we just reviewed? You didn't pick up the phone call? Did anyone else call you from HIC regarding the contract?
No.
Did you talk to Carl Pangolinan?
I talked to Carl Pangolinan?
Yes.
I don't recall.
Let me be very clear on what I'm asking. Between March 4th to March 8th, did you talk to Carl Pangolinan?
I don't recall, I don't think so.
Does he call you regularly?
No.
Okay. Would you have remembered if he had called you? Okay. Now, focusing on Exhibit 12, Mr. Park writes to you and he says, I just got to the office and signed a document. And which document is he referring to here?
Referring to our negotiation.
The SOW Appendix A form, right?
Right.
He says, I would like to let you know that we have not contacted any Korean media regarding an announcement. As you know, I arrived in Korea this morning. Why would he tell you that? Do you know?
Sustained.
Mr. Park writes in here that he has not contacted any Korean media. Did you have any communications with him? Did you tell him not to contact any Korean media?
I did send him an email. It's on the second page.
Yeah.
Of our paper merchant.
Exhibit 12, right?
Yeah. And so he's responding to my email.
Okay, so let's go to your exhibit, your email. This is your email of
March 9th.
Yeah, March 9th, 2016. I know it's in Korean, but it says that'd be about 8 a.m. I'm not sure the time here. Do you know what time you sent it?
It looked like 9 a.m.
Okay. But that would be Korean time, right? So that would be 8 Guam time. He says he visited Guam and was successful. Did you meet with him when he came to Guam?
No.
All right. And you're asking him to respond to your retaining negotiation communication. That's the scope of work document,
yes.
Right? You say here, GVB General Manager would like to finalize RFP and finalize all necessary paperwork and communication and two other offer awards. Why did you write that? Did someone give you instruction?
No.
So why did you write that in that email?
I just wrote it for the process of trying to move the negotiations along.
Did you talk to Nate tonight, and did he say?
I think he was offline during this time.
Right, but he could have called you or sent you an email, right?
Yeah.
So he didn't?
No.
You did this all on your own?
Yeah.
Next paragraph, BTW, that's by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I was contacted by someone mentioning that HIC is communicating with the Korean media, announcing that they have successfully been awarded the GVB marketing representative contract. And you instruct them to please refrain from publicly mentioning this until we have finalized negotiations and signed a contract.
Mm-hmm.
We do not want any protests from the other offer awards. Okay. Can you tell me why you wrote what you wrote in this email?
That's exactly what I mentioned, because we're still in negotiations, and it shouldn't be, they shouldn't have presumed that because I sent them negotiation paperwork that they were selected. We were still going through the process.
This is as of March 9th.
Yeah.
Right? And you said, we do not want any protests from other offers. Can you explain what was your concern?
Because we're still in the negotiation process, and you know, we're still in the RFP process. It hasn't been concluded. And my understanding, the way I do the RFPs at them, is we go to the first most qualified or highest rated, and we negotiate with them. Should negotiations not fail, then we go to the next highest ranking. So I didn't want the other offers to see, oh, how come we didn't know anything and it's out in the public that they awarded the contract, when it's not the case.
And also because they haven't been notified of the ranking, right?
Right.
With respect to your concerns about protests being filed at that particular point in time of the solicitation, mm-hmm. and negotiation, if a protest had been filed at that time, would that have stopped the procurement process?
Objection. Calls
Do you
for,
know the answer
calls
to
for
that?
Conclusion?
I don't know.
Your concern is legal conclusion?
Yes, sir. Yes,
without
sir.
Getting a legal conclusion, what would
she said she
saying?
Didn't
I don't know.
She said she didn't know.
So your concerns about protests were because of the notice issues, notifications issues.
Yeah, yes.
May I interject? Ms. Kona, do you normally write something to that effect when you're notifying her in the process of negotiation? Do you normally write something to that effect about to not mention it until, you know, to avoid any protests? Is that something generally in the limited number of RFPs that you do? Is that something you would normally write?
No. No.
You would not normally write, we don't want to have any protests from the others?
No. Yeah, I wouldn't. It's just because of this particular instance where someone had told me that they saw a newspaper article in Korea, and then that made me concerned, so I wrote to them telling them we shouldn't.
What was the nature of the article in Korea?
They said that they saw an article, someone saw an article that said that HIC has now been awarded and now the new GVB marketing.
Oh, that was already in Korea at the time you wrote this?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what prompted you to write that,
mm-hmm.
but normally you would not.
Yes.
Okay.
How did you hear about the article? Who mentioned it to you?
It was someone that I know, and they just called me and said, I just came from Korea and I noticed an article.
Were you surprised?
Yes, I was surprised. So that's why I wrote the email.
Okay.
Who called and contacted you?
I'd rather not say. It was someone I know.
Is it somebody from GDB?
No.
Is it somebody from the Korean travel industry?
Yes.
Was it John Ko?
No.
Are you concerned about divulging a confidence? Is that why you don't want to say? I think it's a valid question.
Is there a reason why you don't want to say?
I just don't want to say who it was.
Unless there's a privilege, I think she's required to respond.
You're required to answer.
I'm required to answer who it is?
Yes. Yeah.
Can she answer the question in camera? And then the hearing officer can determine?
Okay, we'll do it that way, right?
We can go off the record.
Let's go off the record and then.
And if we need it.
Yeah.
Well, I prefer that she respond in camera and then let you make the determination.
We'll do it in camera. Okay. So what we're going to do is you can tell the public auditor and I privately, and then we'll make a determination as to whether or not that's something that has to be revealed or not revealed, okay?
Okay.
We're off the record at 10:26 a.m.